What's going on, guys? Mike, Joe, Build Assets Online. Today we're going to talk about 10 side hustles and we're going to rank them from worst to best. So Joe and I have been making a full-time living online since what, 2014, 2015? So we're familiar with all the side hustles, we've tried them, and we've eventually settled on things that actually make us money year in, year out, that we're able to have a stable life. So we're going to jump right into this presentation. How do I do this here? Before we get into the 10 side hustles, and we will, it's very important you understand how we're going to rank these things, why we're going to say some things are bad, some things are good. It comes down to the online business criteria. You can call it CHILSS, C-C-H-L-S-S. And this is what's really important, because if you're going to go spend your time doing what we call a side hustle, you should stack the odds in your favor so that you're going to get the best results possible. So whenever we make a new business, this is what we're looking for. Number one, does it bring compounding results? So you put in the same effort over and over and it produces exponential results over time. So I won't even get into an example of this. We'll get into it in the slides. Compounding skill set, same effort, exponential skill improvement. One example would be something like graphic design. I'm not saying it's a good thing to do, but if you are putting in effort into graphic design day in and day out, your skills are going to improve exponentially and you'll be able to demand higher and higher prices for your work just off of that. That's a compounding skill set. High margin, is what you're selling, what you're doing, actually going to bring in high return? We're not talking a $30, you know, knickknack. We're not talking a $5 knickknack. We're talking hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars if you sell something. Low risk. Does it cost a lot of money to start up? We're going to get into plenty of things in this list that are not low risk. Sustainable. Can the service you're using, the platform you're selling on, etc., ban you, terminate you, chop you down at any time for what you're doing? Is it sellable? So if you are creating a side hustle or you're creating a business, can you turn around and sell that business? So for context, Joe and I have made blog sites, we made dropshipping websites, we made Kindle sites, and we've turned around and we've sold those websites for a monthly or for a multiple of their monthly profit. And we've done this so many times, we've actually sold over $1 million worth of websites. So they were making money, we sold them for a multiple, and that's what we mean by sellable. So this is our criteria. Joe, anything to add before we jump into this list?
No, just on the compounding results, how the same effort equals the exponential results over time. It could also be a situation where you get the same results, but much, much lower effort. So you could set something up, get it to say earning $5,000 a month, and then you just leave it. You don't touch it, or you do very, very little to it every week, and it continues to earn that. So I think that falls into the compounding results category.
Right. Almost like a stock, right? If you put $1,000 into an index fund, then you're really putting in the same result day in and day out, which is basically near zero. And every year it's going to bring in 10%, 10%, 10%. And the first year, it's not that great. You make what, 10 bucks. And then, you know, do the calculator, you trace that out to 30 years, all of a sudden you're making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars each month off of that one investment. So that's compounding results.
Yeah. Not the perfect example, as that will go up and down over time. So it's 10% average, but either way, that I think that segues nicely into our first side hustle that we think is bad, and why I think the stock thing, the index fund thing, was not the best example, because here we have Webull, and we know a couple people who have taken up day trading, stock trading as their side hustle. And this is by far the number one worst one that you could do.
Right. And I was not talking about stock trading, day trading. I was talking about putting money somewhere, leaving it compounds, that general idea. So yes, number 10 out of 10, the worst on the list. I put the symbol for Webull here, but people use any sort of stock trading thing now. I don't know what it is, TD Ameritrade. I don't even get into it. Why? I want to go back to the list. Compounding results. Does it bring you compounding results? No, because one day you have a good trade, you make $10,000, the next day, what happens? You lose it all. It's going up and down, and this is what bothers me, Joe, because there's so many easier bets you can take. This stock trading, this is gambling. This is absolutely gambling. You have no control. Honestly, this could be, well, we covered here in sustainable. It's not sustainable because you have no control over what the over what happens. Something can happen with the market totally outside of your control. Boom, you lose a whole bunch of money.
A way I like to think about it is this. So you could put years and years and years into day trading and you could be the foremost expert on it and you could still lose a lot of money. Take a similar example. Mike and I have put in tons and tons of effort into building websites, specifically high ticket dropshipping stores and blog sites. If we were to start a new dropshipping store tomorrow in the method that we show people how to do it, the high ticket method, the chances of us failing at that are basically almost zero. Like,
exactly,
we could set up a Shopify store tomorrow, you know, add products to it, call suppliers, do all the steps that we lay out, and most likely be very successful in just a couple weeks.
Exactly. Once you get really, really good at something, you should really, the chances of you taking a loss doing it should be so slim and get slimmer and slimmer over time. And that's what we talk about when we say compounding results. Yes, I do believe you can get compounding skill set off of trading. You get good at knowing when to take trades, when to not. But, and it can be high margin, but this low risk one here, it's super, super high risk. In order to make money, you have to spend money. Right. And like I said, it's not sustainable. Things are totally outside of your control. It's not sellable. You can't sell your day trading account. And it's not going to bring you compounding results necessarily. So fails the test. And it's just,
yeah. And even if you get good at it, you still have to do it. It's not like you can hire a VA to do your day trading for you. And it becomes, you know, it's not passive. And it's just, it's the worst one by far.
Not passive at all. Number 9 on the list, Amazon FBA via private label. So what do we mean when we say this? One example that Joe actually did back in the day, you go on Alibaba, as it were. People go on AliExpress now, but back in the day, and still, if you want to buy products in bulk, you can go on Alibaba, get products from China. You made shot glasses, stainless steel shot glasses.
Stainless steel straws. I did neoprene wine coolers. This was all back in 2015, 2016. And if there is one side hustle that is super competitive, super cutthroat, super high risk, it is doing Amazon FBA in this fashion. Now, there are other ways to do Amazon FBA, which I've also done with, they're much lower risk and much easier, which we'll talk about later. But if you're inexperienced, the last thing you want to do is buy a bunch of inventory and have it be reliant on a platform that you don't control. It's just not good.
Exactly.
It's a recipe for disaster.
So compounding results, what do you think?
Compounding results, yes, it can have very, very big compounding results. And I believe that the compounding skill set, it checks that box too. But, well, it actually checks a lot of these boxes. But I think the fact that it's so high risk, and it just over kind of supersedes everything.
Well, for me, it doesn't check the high margin box for the way the majority of people do it. Right. They're doing cheap things, less than $100. By the time you land that, get it to Amazon, you're making less than $50. So, and then you have to start spending money on ads. You have to get reviews. Low risk, absolutely not. Amazon in and of itself is a high risk platform. The company that's making you the product from China, they see you're selling it. They're going to come in on your listing. They're going to beat you on price.
Yeah.
Amazon can terminate you. Amazon can lose a shipment.
Yeah.
Sustainable. Same sort of thing. And low risk is actually what I meant in terms of cost. You have to pay for a whole bunch of units, get them to the country, land it, and that's before you can even start selling anything. So it's going to cost you thousands and thousands of dollars up front. So it loses on high margin. It loses on low risk. It loses on sustainable. Very sellable. But this is something that a newbie should never get into.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to go out. You're going to make your own brand. You have to figure out how to sell products from scratch. And the majority of people are just going to fail doing this because it's going to cost too much money. It's going to take too much time to actually get results. And it's just too competitive. There's much easier things that you can do. as a newbie looking to make a bunch of money online.
Absolutely.
So this is number, third worst on the list would be, how would you describe this, Joe?
I would describe this as low ticket dropshipping, what a lot of people on YouTube preach. Basically, you're using Shopify to, you know, as your platform to sell stuff. And then you're using Instagram, TikTok for ads and traffic. Then you're using any of these services, AliExpress, Salehoo, S-Pocket, USA Drop. You're using them for your products, basically. And you're selling all these gimmicky products, stuff under $30, stuff under $50. And basically just trying to go viral, create a viral ad campaign to products from these platforms and then fulfilling them via these platforms. This could have possibly taken the number one slot for worst, but the fact that you don't have to buy inventory for it makes it a little better, but you have to just invest so much into ads for most likely negative returns, because most ad campaigns on this stuff just fall flat, and you need to have an extremely high skill level to master this. And even when you do, what happens? You get a product, and typically it goes up, maybe you make some money, and it goes down to basically zero. And we've seen it time and time again, because there's really no barrier to entry with this. That's part of the problem.
AliExpress, USA Drop, any of these big dropshippers, these wholesalers, anybody can get into. And that's the problem. People see on Instagram, they see on TikTok, these things go viral, these brands, and they think they can replicate that. Number one, I am skeptical as to how many sales it takes on a viral post, or how many views it takes on a viral post to actually generate sales. We've had many things do pretty well on these platforms, and the amount that they bring in is not that much. Maybe it's different for a smaller product, but it's like you said, Joe, something can only go viral for a certain amount of time. Even if it makes you $100,000 at once, it's going to be dead in a couple months. So that's not a great way to, you know, it's not a good place to hang your hat. Compounding results, no, because this is all about running ads, getting something to go viral, influencer marketing. Something can be up one day, totally down the next.
And if you have a success, you're going to be spending so much money searching for that next success. When you have a business that isn't sustainable, you basically have to spend all the money that you made from your first success to chase the second one.
Right. And we're not making that up. We've interviewed our students on this channel who have previously done AliExpress dropshipping and that type of thing. And the amount of money it takes to find that winning product, oftentimes, you know, it evens out, because by the time you find the winning product, you make money, you've lost money up front, and now you got to spend more money to find the next winning product, as you said. So compounding results, no. Compounding skill set, I would say yes, because you figure it out, you get good at it, you can probably repeat it to some degree. High margin, no. Low risk, no. You have no control over these wholesalers. You have no relationship with these wholesalers. They don't care about you. You're on these platforms totally controlled by an algorithm.
Yeah. And it's kind of like day trading in that regard. Like, you know, you have one great day and then one bad day, and it all evens out.
Right. The whole point is, when something goes viral, it's totally out of your control. It's being shared and shared and whatever, which is a great thing, but you just have no say in when it's going to stop.
Yeah.
And just me, I would rather take consistent results day in and day out and be able to build off that and have that security of that money coming in every day, so that you can make better decisions to make more and more money long term.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is, it doesn't cost a whole lot of money to start up, but not sustainable and not sellable. You can't sell that business. Next, Upwork, freelancing. This is freelancing of any kind. So people will do ghostwriting, people will do graphic design, people will do Google Ads.
Yeah.
All sorts of things here.
I don't think you could really lose with this one. And I think we're going to be running into a couple different side hustles here, where if you don't have a lot of money, which you shouldn't be starting a business type endeavor if you don't have a lot of money. What you should be doing is freelancing. So You should be learning a skill that you could basically freelance out and sell. So that could be writing. I don't know about writing right now, given the AI situation, but either way, let's say writing, graphic design, like Google Ads management, you know, these type of things can be freelanced via Upwork, and you can make money in your pocket without spending any money. So that, you know, in my opinion, is something you need to think about if you're going to be starting a side hustle. It's, do I have money to start a business, you know, get the business licenses, you know, whatever the costs are associated with a business, or do I just want money in my pocket as fast as possible?
Right. You never want to be starting a business as your last ditch attempt to like put money in your bank account.
Yeah.
You need to have a certain amount of money in your bank account in order to start a business, because you need to be, you know, you need to be able to handle some risk. If you can't stand to lose $500 for whatever reason, you got to buy something, or, you know, you screw something up, as a business can, that's just the cost of doing business. You don't want that to be the end all be all, put you out of the game. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with some freelancing, some honest work, developing a skill and selling that skill. It is assured returns. So sometimes you need those assured returns. You say, hey, I want to put my time out. You're exchanging your time for dollars. And people like to poo-poo on that idea. And we, you know, there's a time and a place for it, of course.
Yeah, it shouldn't be your long-term plan, but there is a time and a place to do it for sure. You shouldn't poo-poo it if you have, you know, if you're broke, that's, your time is basically less limited than your money. At some point, it becomes the opposite.
Right, exactly. Yeah, if you have a lot of time and you have little money, then it is useful to exchange that time for money.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you start building businesses, etc. Now your time starts running low. So you can't be exchanging time for dollars. You can't get to $1 million a year just by, I mean, in most cases, you can't do that. You have to start, you know, outsourcing, et cetera. So real quick rundown on the criteria for freelancing. Compounding results?
No. Maybe you get a little compounding bit better skills. Results as you get more reviews and stuff like that, but not compounding.
Right, get clients, et cetera. But yeah, not exponential. Compounding skill set? Yes.
Yeah.
You get good at a skill, you can charge more for it. High margin? Yeah. Yeah, for certain things. If you're really good at, you know, you're running a Google Ads, you're doing some Google Ads management, you can make some nothing to sneeze at money, make a couple $1,000 a month off a client. Low risk? Yeah, it's low risk because you're not going to lose a lot of money. It doesn't really cost any money to do any of these things. Sustainable?
It depends on if you get burnt out.
Yeah. There's a couple of factors there. I wouldn't say it's unsustainable that a platform can shut you down. But yeah, is it unsustainable? Are you going to burn out? Is something like AI going to remove you as a necessary component of a business? And it's not sellable.
Yeah. You could probably turn it into a business if you have a lot of clients and then you're going to get someone to step in for you. But again, that's kind of a longer term thing that's pretty far down the line when you're just starting to freelance.
Right. Next up, we're sticking with the exchanging time for money type deal. Because again, if you're low on money, there's something to be said. You got to start exchanging time and get more money so that you can actually launch a business. So this one here, I love. You have the Lime scooters, the Bird scooters. Have you ever used these, Joe?
I think once or twice.
Right. So if you're in a city, there's these electric scooters. You can hook up to your phone, almost like Uber, Lyft, and you can just ride them around. They charge you. But there's people that need to charge these scooters, right? The battery is going to die. So you can be paid to go find these scooters around town. You charge them. You make money. I saw on the website, on Lime's website, it said you can make, I think, up to like $30 an hour doing that.
That's pretty good.
It's really nothing to sneeze at, especially because you're in your car. You can kind of do whatever. You listen to music. I don't know. And it's, again, it's all about guaranteed returns. So this falls in line with Instacart, with driving Uber. If you're low on money, the last thing you want to do is start doing friggin' TikTok dropshipping, is to do Amazon FBA private label, is to start stock trading.
Yeah.
These are all ridiculous things. So you're not harnessing a, you're not building a skill set necessarily. Oops. Like, you're not building a skill set like you would on Upwork or, you know, selling like freelance, something like that. But this is probably more guaranteed returns than that, because Upwork, you have to go out, you have to get clients, you have to build that up a little bit. This is kind of more instant. You can go out and start making money no matter what.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah. That's good for a side hustle.
Right.
So
next up
for this one, we have WordPress, which is basically blogging. You're posting articles onto a WordPress site and they're making money from showing ads. They're making money from affiliate products. And this is a really, really good side hustle, but it takes a lot of time and requires a lot of knowledge to execute it successfully. So it takes a lot of time because if you make a brand new website and post something, Google's not going to pick it up for at least 6 to 8 months. So that post is not going to get any traffic. And each post, depending on how you structure this business model, each post is not going to make very much money. So you need to have a lot of posts to make it worth it. And you're either going to make a lot of posts by spending a lot of money with a freelance writer, by writing it yourself, which is going to take a lot of time. And it's going to be a lot of time that you're not going to see a return for a long time. In other words, you could spend a year writing on a WordPress blog and then not see any money back. So it's not great in that regard. Or you're going to use AI, which that requires knowledge. The tools can be kind of expensive, but still, if you know what you're doing and you have time to figure it out, I would say that this is a very, very good business model, but also pretty volatile because it's reliant solely on Google search, but it does tend to be, I mean, historically it's been up and down, but also pretty consistent in terms of once you have something going, unless something drastic happens, it typically doesn't lose like 100% of what it's making.
Right. And so this is starting to get into the realm of things that we've made some serious money doing. And yes, so creating a blog, doing WordPress, stuff like that, it does have a little bit of volatility, but let's go through it. Compounding results. 100%. You put the same effort in over and over, you're going to get exponential results over time, usually. Meaning, let's say you put out one article a day.
Yeah.
And over time, these articles are going to start ranking. They're going to start getting traffic. And they're going to start ranking for more and more things as time goes on. So number one, the time that you're going to need to invest each day is going to go down, but also the traffic you're going to get each day is going to go up. Therefore, your earnings are going to go up. So that's 100%. Compounding skill set. Yes, you're going to be better at doing keyword research. You're going to be better at publishing articles, your workflow. That's all going to get very, very optimized over time. Your skill set will compound. High margin, it depends. So we're going to get into some ways you can make this high margin, but it doesn't have to be high margin. You can have things that just make money off ads. Low risk. In terms of money, in terms of startup cost, it is low risk. Because if you want, you could just write an article a day yourself. It doesn't cost you that much money.
Yeah.
Sustainable, there is the issue, like Joe said, with volatility, because you have the Google algorithm that can update, your traffic can go up, your traffic can go down. But if you operate it in a low risk fashion, you're not spending a whole lot of money paying thousands of dollars for an article from some expert writer, then you know, that's okay. And sellable, yes. We just sold one of our blogs recently for, what was it, $65,000?
Yeah, and that was a blog that I hadn't touched for, you know, probably a whole year. And, you know, maybe had like 300 posts on it. Maybe a little, I actually don't remember how many posts it had on it. But yeah, I didn't touch it for like a year. I mean, the ROI on it, considering the amount of time and money put into it, was really high. I don't remember exactly, but something like that.
Next up on the list. So now we're getting into the, this is the top four right now.
Yeah.
Kindle publishing.
Yeah. And there's lots of different ways that you could do Kindle publishing. I think for a side hustle, you know, we've made most of our money in Kindle publishing via romance, but unless you're a writer, I don't know if that's a good side hustle because it's going to require cost. It's going to require risk and expertise. I think what's good about Kindle, what falls into side hustle territory, is making stuff yourself and throwing it up there, like making coloring books, making word searches, kind of these low content books. We don't necessarily teach this, but had a lot of success with it in the past. I mean, Mike, I believe you have a Sudoku book that's like still selling, or I don't know if you took it down, but.
Right. I don't have access to it anymore because we did sell our Kindle business for a large lump sum of money. So that, I guess, went along with the sale. But yeah, there's plenty of low cost ways you can do Amazon Kindle. You can throw it up. Yes, Amazon, you know, there's some risks involved with that. But for a newbie just trying to make money, you do get kind of the best of both worlds where Amazon is a huge marketplace. You put stuff on there, you're inherently going to make money back. This is how I made my first dollar online. I guess it was how you made your first dollar too, Joe.
No, I made my first dollar with the next thing.
Right. But I'm saying it was on Amazon.
Right.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So Amazon is a great way to make your first dollar online. It can have, like I said, issues with sustainability, but if you do things in a low cost way, then you can certainly make a whole lot of money doing it.
Well, think about it like this. So this is basically like private, and this is how we got into this at the time because we realized this. This is basically like private labeling on Amazon without the huge risk and without taking on huge inventory because you have a digital thing that can just sell over and over and over again. That's the beauty of it.
Right. Right. You can have a faceless info product, digital product that sells over and over again and make a little bit of money on it. So good side hustle. Next up, we got retail arbitrage, Amazon FBA. So what do you mean by this, Joe?
So this is kind of a more direct way to make money on Amazon. And this is really great side hustle territory because you basically go to garage sales, you go to the clearance sections. This is how I made my first dollar online, truly. I was actually working a full-time job at the time. I would do this on my lunch break with the company phone. And so you scan stuff with your phone and it basically says, oh, this is $30 on Amazon, but this clearance section has it for $5. Okay, after all the fees, maybe you make like 10 bucks. They have 10 of these on the shelf. All right, so I'll pick up 10, send them into Amazon FBA. And yeah, there you go. I mean, it's not perfectly low risk because at some point, if you're sending in a lot of stuff, your inventory can get quite large, and prices change and stuff like that. But I found it really easy to make a healthy profit and almost like a healthy, not passive income, but semi-passive income with this when I first started.
Right. So it does take a little bit of money. So if you have absolutely zero, you need to go to the time for dollars route. Start doing Lime scooter charging, whatever.
Yeah. Maybe you do an Uber and you do this between jobs.
Hey. Yeah. You go into Walmart, go to the clearance section, pick up some things. Sell them. And yeah, it is a pretty, I don't want to say a sure thing, but the return you're going to make when you buy a product and you go to resell it on Amazon, that's what it's going to be the majority of the time, right?
Yeah. It can be difficult to scale, especially if you're doing strictly physical arbitrage. There's ways to do it online, but if you're doing like physical arbitrage, you are kind of limited to your local area.
I think this is one of the most pure side hustles in every sense of the phrase, because yes, you don't need much business experience. You don't need a whole lot of money to do it. Right. And it's something you can grind out to make a few thousand bucks a month.
And it doesn't have to be Amazon. It could be eBay. You know, you don't have to do strictly Amazon. Like there's multiple ways. It's just basically online arbitrage is you're buying stuff in person for cheap, selling it online for more. You're finding deals in person. You know, you could probably do this with Craigslist, with Facebook Marketplace. There's tons and tons of ways to do this. And I think compared to, say, Uber or Instacart or Lime, yes, it does require more money, but the hourly return can be much higher than those things.
Right. You could start working a couple hours a week and you're making, you know, a few thousand back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So now we start to get into what is your effective hourly rate, as we call it. You're spending 3 hours a week, you're making back $1,000, $2,000. That's $100 an hour, $200 an hour.
Yeah.
It's nothing to sneeze at territory.
No, that's kind of what it was. That's kind of how it ended up for me is I mean, this was 2014. I had a corporate job. I think I was making $55,000 a year. And I remember going out on the weekend for a couple hours. I remember one time coming home with like 50 of these rubber band things. Like they were like some rubber band toy for kids. And I got them at this like discount lot store. And I was like, oh, I just made my weekly salary. I'm sending these in now. So
there you go.
Yeah. That's kind of the light bulb moment for me was doing stuff like this.
Right. So next one. Now this is where you get into some serious money. This is land flipping, as we like to call it. We do have a course in this, Land Flip Bootcamp. To go to buildassetsonline.com/land. You can check that out. But really what this is, we're on Land Watch right now, which is where people sell their land. So you don't need an exorbitant amount of money to start doing this, but you do need some money. And basically what this is, you can send out letters to people who own vacant property and make an offer on it. It's very similar to the retail arbitrage idea, except it's almost in reverse. You're going to people that have a product, making them an offer on it. And if people accept this offer, you know that you can resell it for more. So for example, here, some of these properties are for sale for $5,000. The amount that these people are probably paying for these properties, close to $1,000, $2,000. So they're finding, okay, who owns property in Cochise County, Arizona, sending them a piece of mail saying, here, I'll give you $1,000 for your half an acre property. Some people accept that. You buy it, you go and you resell it.
Yeah. And yeah.
So I'm showing a low price example here, but this scales up all the way to higher prices. You can buy something for $20,000, sell it for $60,000. We've done this time in and time out. And this is one of my favorite business models. This is something we still do, something we make a whole lot of money on. And again, something we teach other people how to do.
I believe one of my mailers just produced these numbers just like that.
Listen, we have some things under contract. I don't want to get too deep into it yet, but we'll certainly talk about that in the future once the bag is fully secured.
Okay.
So this is a great way to start replacing full-time income, quitting your job. This could be your absolute full-time thing here, and you can be totally independent of anybody else financially. Last but not least, this is the number one side hustle.
Are we biased? Are we biased when it comes to this?
I think we're biased because we've been spending nearly a decade trying to optimize the money that comes out for the amount of time that we put in.
Right. And when it comes to side hustles, you cannot beat high ticket drop shipping. And if we go back, this warrants going all the way back to the Chills criteria. It literally hits all of these criteria. Compounding results, absolutely. Compounding skill set, in so many ways. High margin, amazing margins. Low risk, I mean, no inventory. Like, yes, maybe risk of getting a charge back and losing. Yeah, let's explain it first. I was getting ahead of myself.
What is high ticket dropshipping? High ticket dropshipping is instead of going on S-Pocket, instead of going on AliExpress, you're finding domestic suppliers in your country. So we're in the USA. You can find, let's say, John Deere. They sell lawnmowers, thousands of dollars. You call up John Deere. You say, hey, John Deere, I want to sell your products. They say, okay. They sign you up as a wholesaler. Now you have the ability, you have the right to go make a website, put up all these John Deere lawnmowers and start selling them. And if you sell one, you make $500, $800, $1,000 plus profit just from one sale. So this is high ticket dropshipping. Very, very different from the other type of dropshipping, which is reliant on social media. It's reliant on suppliers that don't care about you, are low margin, you have no control over. So now we can go back to compounding results. So compounding results. We run these stores off of Google Ads, right? So someone searches John Deere lawnmower in Google, we're going to show up at the top with Google Shopping Ads, with Google Text Ads, with SEO search results. And if I have my Google Ads running at $1,000 every month, it's going to produce exponential results over time.
Well, not only that, but you have, say you have the one Google ad campaign running successfully. I'm using the word campaign loosely here. You have one campaign running successfully. You add another campaign, so say another product group. You're selling the lawnmowers and you decide to sell, what's related to, like a shed. So you're selling lawnmower, you're selling lawnmower shed. You got the lawnmower campaign optimized, making money every month. You add on another one, that's now making money every month. And you add on a third one and you keep adding. And that's way different than trying to find a social media viral campaign that's going to go up and down, because you're actually building income.
Right. If you spend 2 hours a day on your store, contacting new suppliers, adding them to your website, adding them to Google, it will produce compounding results if you do it right. Because number one, more traffic is going to come to your website. And the more traffic you have over time, people are going to come back and they're going to buy just off that fact. You know what I'm saying? If you have 1,000 visitors coming to your website every month, the first time those people come, maybe some people buy something. Now the next month, you have another 1,000 visitors. That's 2,000 visitors over time. The total number of visitors you have all time builds and builds and builds. Some people, it takes a week for them to buy. Some people, it takes a month. Some people, it takes longer. They're waiting until they get into their new house and then they're going to buy from you. So, and the older your store gets, the more reviews it gets, the more trusted it gets, word of mouth, et cetera. Your sales grow and grow.
Yeah.
Compounding skill set, it's the same sort of thing. You get really good at Google Ads. We talked about Upwork, freelancing. It's the same thing, except it's your own business. You control it. You get good at Google Ads. You can spend less time on it and you can produce better results. You get good at contacting suppliers, securing suppliers. Same sort of idea. High margin. Yes, we're making $500 plus per sale, sometimes in the thousands, oftentimes in the thousands. Low risk? Yes, because we're not paying any money to sell the John Deere lawnmower. We sell one, we pay John Deere as the customer pays us. So we get that margin up front. Yes, there is ad cost, but the margin is so high that it is very, very likely you can produce a profitable result, because this is not a social media campaign. This is people searching for John Deere lawnmower and you're showing up with a John Deere lawnmower. Query-based marketing. So it's going to be much higher conversion rate than a TikTok ad.
Yeah. I want to mention one real quick thing before we end on conversion rate. This might be a little bit out of the scope of the video. But the thing is that conversion rate doesn't really matter. What matters is how much money you make from the sale and how much it costs you to get the traffic. So,
right.
You know, it could cost you, and most likely it might be cheaper for you to get a click via Google Shopping for a John Deere lawnmower than it would be to get a user to your website if you're selling a handbag. And that's that exact example might not be the truth, but if you think about all the high ticket products out there, that is the case. And we see it time and time again. You know, sometimes we've spent a penny for a click and got a $7,000 sale. And that's the truth. And stuff like that happens on a pretty regular basis.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, people don't really talk about the metrics of, okay, you have a video, you have a viral video, it gets 1 million views. How many people actually click over to your ads? Or you have a social media video that gets 1 million views. How much do you spend on that video versus how many clicks does it get to the website? So how much did it cost per click?
Yeah.
I don't hear a lot of that talk. And I wasn't trying to say conversion rate matters. But what I was trying to say is that it's more of a surefire thing that you're going to produce a result. People that go out and they have no idea what they're doing, they try and do a social media campaign. There's so many elements that they have to get right. The graph, the design, what they say, the call to action, the product, the price point, et cetera. Everything has to be on point. When you have a John Deere lawnmower and you're putting it in front of somebody that's searching for John Deere lawnmower, it's just naturally going to work better. because it takes all the guesswork out of beginner marketing. And it's just, this person's looking for something. You have this thing, you sell it, you make a high margin on it. Yep. So it makes it much easier to run ads and to create a scalable business over time.
Yep.
So absolutely. Sustainable, yes. Once you get in with a supplier, unless you do something heinous, they're not going to kick you out. I mean, Shopify can take you down if they really want. You can go on WordPress. The platform doesn't necessarily matter.
Right.
You know, there's Google Ads, but you're paying to play. And that's what's great. It's not like you make a Google Ads campaign and you have to keep remaking campaigns. The Google Ads just sits there. And, you know, someone that bought one of our stores, we sold our store for six figures. We found the later owner. They hadn't touched our Google Ads in a year, and the sales kept growing and growing. So,
yeah. You know, now that you said that, Mike, the funny thing about this is we were going to do a video today about, so a couple of stores that we sold years ago at this point are shut down. Like they changed hands multiple times and the final owner flopped them. They messed so many things up. But the guy who basically, we have an interview with this guy, he got our store and he flipped it for, I think, three times more than we sold it to him at the time. And he is the only one out of all the new owners that did not touch the Google Ads. Like, did he even did he even log into it at any point?
Probably not. Maybe he logged in to do some things, but you get the idea. If you do the Google Ads right, they could just sit there and they work. Once they work, you can leave them for a very, very long time and they will continue to perform very close to the same.
Yeah.
So sustainable, yes. Sellable, yes. We've sold many high ticket dropshipping stores, some in to the order of $30,000, some 80, some in the six figures. And then, you know, we sold one in for high six figures, over $600,000. So this fits all six out of six. And yeah, I think if people really want to build something that isn't just going to make them a couple thousand dollars one time, they want to put in effort and then get money that comes back to them, passive results over time, semi-passive, then high ticket dropshipping is going to be their best bet. So we can wrap this up. We do have a free web class where we show you how we build our online business portfolios, whether it's blog sites, whether it's high ticket dropshipping, whether it's land, how we have all these assets that we can turn around and sell. So we show you products we've actually sold. And yeah, we show you our strategy to building over $1 million in online assets. You can go to buildassetsonline.com/class. Check that out. I know it was a long one. I know we're boomers, but hopefully some people got value out of this, and hopefully people enjoyed it. So
yeah,
until next time, take it easy.
Take it easy.